Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Dimes on Duval, along with Skylar Chase and Mike Yashi. I am Keith Manzi. Welcome aboard, fellas.
How are you guys doing?
Good, good, good. So, first and foremost, we're going to dive right in. It doesn't feel right continuing business as usual as if nothing has happened in the world currently. We are in the midst of, honestly, to me, it's very sad that we have to sit here and defend our black brothers and sisters because of our government, our country, our police force, and everything that goes with that. But we are in the midst of Black Lives Matter as full swing. So Black Lives Matter was founded in 2013 in response to the whole Trayvon Martin murder. It's a foundation as global. It's a global organization in the U.S., U.K., Canada, and the mission is to eradicate white supremacy and build local power to intervene in violence inflicted on black communities by the state and vigilantes. So we are not black, obviously. Skylar, last I checked, you were white. Mike, you are Arabic. But we all have black family. We have black friends. We have coworkers that all happen to be black. And we stand with them during this time. On our personal accounts, we will share what we deem worthy of sharing. I feel very strongly about going out and protesting myself. I have gone out to a couple now and have really been moved by what has been said, what has been done, how peaceful they have been. I'm blessed to say that I was a part of two peaceful protests. Nothing violent there, but I want to let you guys say a little something if you have anything. If you don't, that's not a problem, but I just wanted to say that if anyone wants to come on the show to have a voice, we have an avenue to where you can use us as a voice with all the other listeners that we have. If you know anyone that wants to speak about the situation that is going on right now, please feel free to reach out. We would be more than happy to have you on to share your story, anything in that regard. So guys, either one of you, if you guys have anything to say.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I know we didn't really talk much about like the Colin Kaepernick protests when they were happening, just because we also were trying to stay, you know, within sports and not get too political, but it's gotten to a point to where I felt like we all felt like we needed to say at least a little something, just so, I mean, tensions are high with everyone, obviously, and we love sports, and we love the athletes that play these sports, and most of them are black athletes, and be a disservice for us to not mention that for us, for them to get to where they've gotten, they have their own story, and for us, we don't want to ignore that, and we didn't want to ignore that this episode. We wanted to make sure it's known that we're trying to do what we can. We're not, like you said, like you mentioned, Keith, we're not black, so we don't truly know what anyone's going through, so that's why we want to offer anyone the chance to share their story about what they've gone through and show our appreciation for fellow peers, you know, just because they've had, like, it's just so awful what they're going through, obviously. And like Keith mentioned, we got family and friends, and I know some stories from my peers that just, it does break my heart knowing. So with that, can't be ignored. So we don't know the true pain, but we want to make change the best we can. So yeah, like Keith mentioned, we're sharing on our personal pages what we feel is right, what we want to get the perspective out, and we want to share other people's perspective just so that people can learn more and more about how awful it could be to live in America as someone just because of a skin color. So, I mean, so Mike, carry on with
that. No, I just want to say, like, obviously none of us can understand what our friends are going through, our family members, friends, all that. We don't know what they're going through, but we're here to listen. We're here to support. That's all we can do, obviously, whether that's joining in protests or joining in funding movements, whatever we can do to help support our black brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do. America, racism is still around, unfortunately, and we are in 2020 and we're still dealing with this. And I feel like our black brothers and sisters, like, they have dealt with this since they came to the country, came to the United States. So, like, it's always going to be around, and hopefully, with all this, that racism will end very soon. because it is clear that there is definitely racism going on, and I'm hoping that justice will be served for George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Trayvon Martin, all these people that have died just walking around in the streets, just doing nothing, minding their own business. Like, I hope justice will be served soon for everyone and that we can get back to normalcy and eventually racism will be eradicated, hopefully very soon. And I think these protests are a way of starting it up. And I'm hoping that, like I said, justice will be served and whatever anyone can do in terms of supporting the movement, try to do it. And like Skyline Keith said, those statements were great. And we just want to make sure that we, as a podcast, we show that we are supporting Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely. And the biggest thing to me is being silent is just as bad as speaking out against the cause. I mean, right now is not the time to be quiet, but it's also the time not to say the wrong thing. Unfortunately, we've seen several instances now where people have come out and said the wrong thing and kind of made fools of themselves, including Drew Brees and Florida State's coach Mike Norvell. Now, we'll skip Drew Brees. He's already dug himself in a hole deep enough and come out and gave an empty apologies. But Mike, touch on Mike Norvell real quick. You were more active on Twitter for this than I didn't see it till this afternoon when I got off work and saw all the tweets that were people all the Gator fans were tweeting that. Gosh, I got some pretty bad ones that I saw on my timeline just making fun of us. But go ahead now. Tell us a little bit about Mike Norvell's
Yeah,
tweet.
so last night I actually was just laying in bed and I saw who was I saw Marvin Wilson quote tweet Tashawn, what was his last name? I can't remember his last name. Tashawn Reed, I believe his name was, a reporter for The Athletic. He used to cover the Florida State Seminoles, and he went to cover the
He
Raiders.
covers the
Yep, he
Raiders
covers the
now, right?
Raiders.
Yeah, okay.
So Tashawn Reed put a statement out from head coach Mike Norvell from Florida State, pretty much stating that, I'm going to read the quote here real quick. "We've had a lot of open communication with our team, our players, and our coaches. I went back and forth individually with every player this weekend, and that was something that was important to me because it's a heartbreaking time in our country. You see hate and see discrimination. You see some of the acts that have occurred. I mean, it is a problem, and it's something that we have to stand together and we have to work to get it fixed. I'll continue to share with our guys the platform that they have and the opportunity that is there for them to make a difference, to be an influence, and to be able to impact our country in a positive way by the overall mindset and approach of how we treat people to how we respond in situations. I told these guys just how grateful I am to be a part of this journey because they are the future. We've got an incredible group of men, and I get the chance to work with them as players and coaches. I'm honored to have the opportunity to help make a difference. That's something we have definitely talked about in a big picture team approach, but also more specifically the individual and group conversations. We are trying to meet our guys at their need and be able to share some of the emotions that we're all going through." At the time, this is a good statement. But then late last night, around 12:15, or I'm sorry, this morning, 12:15 a.m. on June 4th, Marvin Wilson quote tweeted it. He said, "Man, this shit did not happen, man. We got a generated text that was sent to everybody, and there was no one-on-one talk between us and coach. This is a lie, and me and my teammates as a whole are outraged, and we will not be working out until further notice. 100 emoji, huncho out." And I quote tweeted that.
Thank you for giving us the
Oh, of
emoji.
course.
I appreciate
I quote
it.
tweeted that. I said, "Uh-oh, drama and tally." And now and FSU Twitter obviously was asleep at the time, but I saw some people tweeting about it. They're like, they've got to get onto this immediately. Come to find out, there was a meeting this morning at 9 a.m. between the team and Coach Norvell. They had a team meeting, and looks like tweets came in after the fact, maybe like 10 o'clock, 10:15. Players tweeted out. Kayvon Glenn tweeted, "We love our coach. We are together as a team. FSU football team and coaching staff is fine. See y'all in the fall." Jayshon Corbin tweeted working with 100 emoji again. Amari Ferrari tweeted a video with him and Stanford Samuels. I'm sorry, Asante
You mean
Samuel.
Amari
Yeah.
Gainer?
Amari, no, I'm looking at his Twitter name. Amari Ferrari is his name, but his Twitter handle,
Oh.
yes, Amari Gainer. He tweeted, "All I know, hashtag work in the locker room with Asante Samuel Jr." And just more and more players are tweeting out, "We're all good, we're all good." And then the text that was sent to the players was it just a basic text saying, "Good evening, insert name. I want to shoot you a message." I don't want to read the whole message, but it was just saying that if be safe and be please always know we are here for you as coaches and staff if you ever need to talk. You have a tremendous member, a tremendous platform as a member of our Knoll family. Let's be different. Our actions be heard in service, sacrifice, and respect. Thank you for the opportunity to coach. I can't wait to see you tomorrow night in a Zoom meeting. News is coming out from other reporters saying that it was probably a misquote or just Marvin may have misinterpreted it. But they had the meeting. Then Mike Norvell then put a statement out saying, I'm proud of Marvin for utilizing his platform to express his reaction to my comments in an earlier interview. Last Saturday evening, I sent a text to each player individually to present an opportunity for open communication with me. Many members of our team chose to respond and have more in-depth conversations about issues and feelings. Marvin is right. It was a mistake to use the word, quote, every, end quote. Particularly at this time, words are important, and I'm sorry. Once again, I'm grateful for the opportunity that I'm given to speak to our team more in depth as a result of Marvin being willing to express his feelings. We will continue to communicate and work together to be a part of the solution to making our world a better place for all. Everything pretty much was a disaster late last night. And early this morning, I was like checking Twitter, trying to see anything comes out. Everything looks good on their end. And one thing, Marvin Wilson put like a 3-4 minute video on his Instagram. Three things that came out from the meeting I saw. He said that everyone on the team will register to vote. The team will fundraise money for charities that help Black kids get to college. And also the team will fundraise money for underprivileged Tallahassee kids. Because Marvin Wilson said in the video, he said that he's been in Tallahassee for 4 years. And it's actually sad that some people, there's like a fifth grader taking care of a first grader because the mom is out at work. And like, it just, it's sad like what's going on with underprivileged kids, not just in Tallahassee, but around the country. And they're trying to, it's going to be a very interesting dynamic for the team to support, obviously for underprivileged Tallahassee kids, but also get kids to college and become doctors, become lawyers, get them a Black, like Marvin Wilson even said, the most dangerous man is a Black educated man. And that's good in terms of getting everyone on education level, because we want to see everyone succeed in life. We don't want to have any issues of poverty down the line. We want to see everyone improve from this. And I think that the tweet that Marvin Wilson tweeted late last night ignited a fire from Mike Norvell. Okay, say, okay, look, I apologize. Let's work together and try to figure this out. And I think it's a great statement by Norvell. And hopefully, for now, it looks like things are calm out in Tallahassee.
All right. Well, good. Thanks for the update there, because I was definitely confused. I didn't really understand what Marvin Wilson was upset about, so thank you for clearing that up for me. Skyler, you got something you want to say about it?
Well, I was just saying, I was hoping for the team
of course
to break
you would.
Up. I mean, no. No, I'm glad everything's resolved, I suppose. I mean, communication definitely, like, with how tense everyone is, like, but people got to understand, you know, they're trying to say the right thing, like, and even if they're trying to say the right thing, it can still hurt people's feelings, and, you know, so I guess and that doesn't make anyone a snowflake for getting hurt, because, I mean, like, it definitely, it's life or death situations in some of these situations, like, with what they're going through, and the NCAA has really no room to talk in some retrospects, it's really important that a football coach, you know, doesn't make mistakes like Dabo or, you know, I don't know, there's so much going on, obviously, but everything's under a microscope, and, you know, it's good, it's obviously better that, you know, it's so transparent that we can see really who is telling the truth and who's not and all that, so I guess that transparency is really nice. Aspect for that, so I mean, and I expect there to be more transparency with how, you know, hiring processes are for coaches and, you know, screening processes are for not just head coaches but all the assistant coaches, trainers and such, because, you know, you can go on to talk about staffs in the NFL, and Martellus Bennett was talking a little bit about it without what Drew Brees mentioned, and also what Fangio said about how Fangio said everything should be more like the NFL because there's not really racism in the NFL. But, that you know, you can't just say stuff like that because you're not experiencing it. And, I mean, in Norvell's case, he said he spoke to everyone one-on-one And, you know, that hurt, like, when you don't speak to someone and you say you spoke to them and someone didn't actually get to share their thoughts with you, that can be really upsetting. So I'm just glad
that. Now everything, now this just shows that everything you put out there is critical. Like, you can't, any wording is critical.
I mean, and that shouldn't be the mindset regardless. I mean, that shouldn't really be the mindset because people's care, like, character is what you do when people aren't watching anyways. So, I mean, like, this transparency that just is all of a sudden, like, popping up. I the olds don't know how to handle the boomers that are still living, like having trouble getting past their history, like, with how they're raised, you know. They're having to deal with not understanding that not everything's hidden. Because I think, you know, a lot of people grew up thinking you could hide a lot. Like, you know, when I play Red Dead Redemption, it's crazy, like, thinking, you know, I can go into the woods and do some crazy stuff in that video game, and not a single person in the town has any idea, and my cowboy is still a really good guy, you know, so, but now with all this transparency, there's, your character is judged everywhere. I mean, not only God's watching, but everyone else is watching too, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, well said. I'll flip it to the other side, the other coach, Dan Mullen. Now, this doesn't have to do with that whole statement or anything like that, but did you hear what he said on the Pat McAfee
show? Yeah, that they're going to go undefeated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he say that? That's awesome. I wouldn't doubt it.
I assume they're going undefeated. So I want to quickly ask you, do you think
there's
no chance in hell?
Okay. Hey, he was asking me the question, Mike.
That's right,
stay
Mike.
Out of it.
Mike, we gave you your time to shine. This is Skyler's time.
All right. So, I mean, it's a really weak SEC East.
Georgia?
Our main thing's going to be the – they lost Fromm, I guess, who was there, the guy who, like, kind of was okay. I'm confident, like, with our defense and Trask ability. Trask, I think – we could do a whole nother episode about this because we could debate this whole thing really too, because I believe Trask can be, you know, he has the potential to be the top pick coming to the draft, even with Lawrence, you know, coming up. Hey,
Lord,
yeah, I said
okay.
It. Okay. He has that potential.
Bombs, baby.
But honestly, Burrow's gone from LSU. That's our main SEC West rival. And Georgia, Fromm's gone. Fromm was, for some reason, always able just to – he would throw balloons throughout the whole game and then have a good clincher. And, I mean, I'd have to look at their running back situation, but, I mean, that's usually what scares me the most is that Georgia has really good running backs, and that's going to be our biggest matchup. I'd have to look at the schedule again, but the SEC East is not, like, that great. I mean, Tennessee's getting some great recruits right now, but it's Tennessee. Yeah, it's Tennessee. So, I mean, I'll have to look at the schedule again. We'll make another episode about that.
I was going to say, let's just hope there's college football first, guys.
Easy.
Read it out loud. Just read it out loud, and I'll talk about the opponents I'm more concerned about and why I think we'll still
beat
them.
Versus Eastern Washington.
So.
Oh, my gosh.
versus Kentucky. Versus South Alabama. At Tennessee. Versus South Carolina. Versus LSU. At Ole Miss. Versus Georgia and Jacksonville, at Vanderbilt, versus Missouri, versus New Mexico State, at Florida State.
All right. Now, besides the teams I already talked about, do y'all see an L anywhere?
I was going to say maybe Kentucky
might be a surprise,
but I don't know.
I mean,
that's a very ideal
schedule. Yeah, it leans more in Florida's favor for sure. But, I mean, I'd be worried about Tennessee early on because it could be a trap. Road game.
I'm not saying that – I mean, like, I'm not saying that Florida is going to be the most dominant team this year, but I'm saying with the way the schedule lines up, with the way they can get their performance going later in the season, they were – I mean, if you go back and watch how they finished games and stuff later on, like, I mean, you guys watched that last game, Florida versus Florida State.
Let's not go into that game.
Man, I could talk about that. Okay. Well, I mean, but regardless, I mean, I think Trask, obviously, like, we can go back to another episode where Felipe got hurt, and I, you know, was talking about how I think Trask could be better. He just hasn't been there yet. I think now that we saw that last season, he's got kind of a season under his belt, and then an off season to prepare as a starter. Similar to, like, what Gardner Minshew is going through, in a sense, but at the college level. And Trask has, you know, he's been on the bench long enough to where his knowledge has to be exceeding anyone that is trying to learn while playing. So, and he's got the ability to make great throws. He's very athletic. He moves around the pocket very well. You know, he's got all the – he's got the height, the size, the arm strength. He's got everything you're really looking for. And Dan Mullen's theoretically a QB whisperer. There's talks about him already – going to the NFL after two seasons with Florida because of
his ability to work with quarterbacks.
Oh, I would hate that. But I think that's what I love about Dan is he's so dedicated to Florida that this is his main goal. This is what makes him great because he wants to win this championship at Florida. He's not going to have the same success in the NFL because, just basically like because, you know, the motivation is different in the NFL, obviously, but like I'm sure he just loves that atmosphere. He has the enthusiasm of a college coach and just seeing these guys thrive and succeed. And he knows the potential of Florida being there when it was like at the peak. Like he was an offensive coordinator for arguably one of the greatest college football teams of all time. But I mean, that's a different, like, so I mean, like he's been there, he's seen it, he knows what it tastes like as an offensive coordinator. And then, you know, now the money is so lucrative and everything's so great about being a college football coach. You can have just this nice, fancy lifestyle and such a little small-town feel where and still have, like, a little bit of privacy and but still have, like, the publicity and greatness of, like, any NFL great coach. And so I think, you know, the motivation's obviously different. But, yeah, with this season, I think it's a good schedule. We have a great quarterback, which we haven't had in a while at Florida. The receivers, we had a lot of great receivers last year that are into the pros. We had the most receivers picked up by NFL teams this year and drafted. I just can't remember the number and such right now. But so the receivers we'll have to see develop, but we have some great speed and talent there anyways.
It's crazy.
I don't really doubt that.
I don't hate Dan Mullen. I like Dan Mullen. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good coach. I mean, hell, Urban was easy to hate. Steve Spurrier, easy to hate. I mean, I loved Will Muschamp because he was so
bad. Oh, it was great. I wish Muschamp was still the coach.
Jim McElwain had sex with a shark, so, like, I mean, those guys were great, but...
I mean, how y'all talk about Muschamp, and that's, like, how Gator fans feel about Willie Taggart. I mean, he was a great
exactly
for y'all.
easily comparable, but... Let's go ahead and change gears, eh?
All right, so we'll swag surf into our next.
Mike, the NBA is
thank back. God.
I have seen you blowing up Twitter about it because I know you're so excited
about
it.
You have no idea. It's been agonizing not watching sports. Like,
I have no idea.
Yeah, true, touche.
No idea. All right, yeah, there we go. So, I mean, shoot.
I've been watching some live sports.
Fair enough.
You know what? You ever watched
just golf
NASCAR?
Matchups
that
in person?
That Bristol race was amazing.
No, I mean, I've been meaning to watch some of that, but no, I was more so actually spectating live sports as well.
We'll
a
get
very
into
rare
that,
thing
but,
right now, too.
Yeah, Mike, after 85 days, we have officially gotten word that the NBA will be back, and hell, I'm just as stoked as you are, but go ahead and give us a quick recap of it. Just a quick recap of what happened today that we know.
Today, so the NBA officially – so news came out yesterday afternoon that the NBA is going to have a vote for the Board of Governors to approve a 22-team format to restart the 2019-20 season. And today was the vote, and the vote went 29-1 in favor of restarting the NBA season. The one team was the Portland Trailblazers who voted against it. So there's going to be a like I said, a 22 team format where each team plays 8 regular season games starting July 31st. And one thing I do, and the Blazers voted against it because apparently they wanted a 20 team format. Irregardless, NBA is coming back.
Not a word.
Yes.
Are they one of the teams selected? Okay, because I figured with playoff seeding, they had to be.
So in the East, there are 9 teams coming back to play. The 8 teams, I got to get the standings up, but I'll get in a second. But then in the West, there are 13 Western Conference teams. The seeding is currently still the same. The seeding is still the same,
correct?
So,
as in for the playoffs, like the 9th East team that travels there will have to go home, and then
in the East, it'll be the Bucks, the Raptors, Celtics, Heat, Pacers, Sixers, Nets, Magic, and Wizards. All other teams are eliminated. The Wizards are the 9 seed. Orlando's the 8. Brooklyn's the 7. Those 3 teams are going to be fighting for the 7, 8, and 9 spot. In the West, it's the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Mavericks, Grizzlies, Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, Spurs, and Suns. So, right now, total of 6 teams on each side have already clinched a playoff spot. So right now, the 7 and 8 are up for grabs for both sides. The reason why they're bringing back 8 games is because they've got to figure out seeding. For example, the 4, 5, and 6 teams in the West are all separated by a game in the West. In the East, the 4, 5, and 6 are separated by 2 games. So there's definitely still seeding to be played. There's still games to be played to determine seeding. So right now, the playoff picture could look a little different in a month and a half. So we'll see what happens, but I am just pumped for the season to come up. And they said Game 7 of the NBA Finals will be no later than Monday, October 12th. And the NBA season will go into the NFL season, which is fine. Granted, they may lose some ratings once NFL comes back, if it comes back, on Sundays and Mondays and maybe Thursdays. But if it's NBA playoff, NBA Finals Game 7, or even NBA playoffs, more likely a lot of people are going to be watching NBA playoffs, especially if it's a good matchup.
Okay, so I have a question. So just to be clear, the East and the West are still separate. Yes. So in the East, the Magic, the only way they're out of the playoffs is if they lose and they're the ninth seed.
Yes, correct? And if they are in the 9th seed, however, so if the 9th seed and 8th seed are less than 4 games apart, the 8th team and the 9th team will play each other. If the 8th team...
Four games apart?
I don't know why they picked 4 games, but I don't know.
That's wild.
Yeah, so if
because the Magic have played one more game than
so, like, is there going to be like a miniature series?
No, there's no. Be like a wild with the 8 and 9 seed right now, the Magic are 5.5 games up on the Wizards. So let's say the Magic are 5 games up after these 8 games. Magic clinch the 8. There's no play-in game. However, if the Magic are up 3 games on the Wizards, Magic and Wizards will play each other. If the Magic win that game, they win the 8 seed. If they lose that game, it's double elimination. So pretty much, if Orlando plays the Wizards, they play the first game. Orlando wins, it's over. Orlando's in the playoffs, Washington's out. However, if Washington wins that first game, Orlando and Washington then go back again, play each other, the winner of the second game will go to the playoffs. So the 9 seed has to win in double elimination. The 8 seed just has to win in a single elimination.
So, like, the 9th seed, how many games back? You said 5.5. The Wizards are from Orlando right now. And 4. So there's 8 games they're playing. If they're able to get within so they just basically have to be 2.5 games up.
Well, they have to gain 2.5 games back, season. Mm-hmm.
So then they would play basically. So they would basically have to, we'll just call it 2.5 games back. Yeah,
pretty
and then
much. And if Orlando wins that game, against Washington, Orlando's in. But if they lose the first game, they have to get eliminated twice, technically. And then the Wizards, they win both games, they're in, Magic are out. But Brooklyn's also a half game up on Orlando, so Brooklyn's still not out of it either. It's still a lot of – it's a little complicated, but, like, once it happens, it's very different. So we'll see.
It's different for sure.
I'm interested.
It'll be fun to watch. I think it's cool.
I'm not interested.
Do they have the scheduling out already?
They're still working on that.
Okay. Because, I am intrigued to see, like you said, the Game 7 won't last until October, and the season will go until football season. So, I mean, like, they're going to stretch 8 games for one team. It'll be basically
– they said they're going to have 8 games over a three-week span, I believe, is what I read.
Yeah, and there are potentially going to be back-to-backs.
Yep, there's going to be back-to-backs, though minimal is what it says. It depends on how the playoffs are going and if there's needed to be a play-in tournament.
Right. Well, and
will this affect the quarter time lengths and such?
No, like, they're not going to have two games in the same day.
Okay. All right. Well, until they start, I mean, that sounds interesting. I'm excited to watch it too, because of how different it is. So I'll be keeping up just to see.
I mean, to be honest, the only thing that's different is the play-in situation for the 8 and 9 seed. Other than that, it's business as usual in terms of winning games to get better seeds.
Yeah, well, obviously. And I mean, besides
that's
having
also different, but I'm saying in terms of what each game matters, does matter.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Mike, but I agree. Skylar, yes, it's going to be weird because, yes, they're all going to be in Orlando. There's going to be no fans. I mean, what are they going to do with the higher-risk people like Greg Popovich, who's like 71?
So this is what what happens if someone tests positive for coronavirus. They said the NBA will need to have a comprehensive plan. Well, I guess they still don't have announced that yet, but the league is not expected to stop play because of a positive test. Instead, the NBA will isolate that person and continue to monitor their surrounding colleagues. An outbreak within a team of several players or staff members tested positive would prove more problematic and could force a reevaluation of the system. So right now,
I mean, that is extremely risky, right?
That right there. Itself. If multiple players get on the same team, then we got a situation. But they don't know what they're going to do yet with the testing positive. But
I mean,
so it does say something about higher risk individuals like Popovich, D'Antoni, Alvin Gentry, Terry Stotts, Rick Carlisle, they're all over 60. It is expected they'll all take part, but doing so only adds to the concern about potential for positive tests within a bubble. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, can you see them wearing masks on the sidelines? You know, it's interesting to see what's going to happen. I'm excited. I mean, obviously the NBA is planning to come back. I really hope that nothing hinders this to where they can come back with no hiccups or anything like that. But we're going to be looking at a very, very different situation. I mean, post-game interviews, you know, there's not going to be, you know, a ton of people there. It's going to be quiet. You might be able to hear what they're yelling at each other on the court. It's exciting. And I really hope that it is able to be successful because, like we've said countless times, we miss sports. And I can't stress that enough, how much this would mean to have it back. But with that, I mean, that's about it for the NBA. I wanted to touch just one local thing because they just announced it yesterday or maybe today. I don't know. Ron DeSantis did say that movie theaters will be allowed to reopen Friday as a part of the next phase of reopening the state. So that's Friday.
Who still goes to movie theaters?
It's June 5th. So when you're listening to this, it should be opening. They will be open at about 50% capacity with a strict cleaning measure in place. And, I mean, I love the movies as much as the next guy, but I don't think I'm going
to. I don't know if you heard it. I said, who still goes to movie theaters?
It's just for teenagers.
Well, really? Oh.
Okay, no.
It's just for teenagers.
Alyssa loves the movies, so I go to the movies with her.
But I haven't been to the movies in – I don't remember last time I went to the movies, to be honest with you.
Well, let's end with this. This has to do with movies and perfect. The Jumbo Shrimp tweeted this out this morning. Help us decide. What movie should we show for our next socially distanced family movie night on Saturday, June 13th? The four options. You guys only can pick one. But if you don't pick the one I pick, I'm going to be really upset. The four options are Good Burger, Captain Underpants,
The Lorax, or Despicable Me 3?
I would go Good Burger.
I mean, I would go Good Burger, but I know what the fans would probably want, and probably be Despicable Me, because I'm just thinking Jumbo Shrimp will get more people to go to Despicable Me.
Well, I voted via our Dimes on Duval Twitter account. Follow us if you don't already, at Dimes on Duval. I voted for Good Burger, and Good Burger is leading with 47.9% of the votes. Despicable Me 3 is in second.
I'm a dude. You're a dude. Oh, dude. She's a dude. We're all dudes.
Man, Keenan and Kel. Good guys.
I'm surprised. I would love to watch The Sandlot there.
They've already played.
That makes sense.
I saw the Sandlot when I was a Cub Scout,
so it gets played often, but good. I'm glad you guys voted for Good Burger. I think that is well, you voted.
I didn't vote, but I mean,
fine, go to this vocal and poll. Go vote on the poll. It's still active for 17 hours.
I don't think I'll be able to vote for it though.
Hey,
well, I still watch Good Burger on Netflix. The sticks that grapes up his nose.
Man, now I really want to watch that now. It's a classic.
That sauce looks so good. I don't know what it is. They need to release a Good Burger sauce
I agree.
In stores.
But, yep, that's all we've got today. Thank you all for
One more thing, Keith, before you sign off. Yeah. I know everyone probably wanted to hear the debate between me and Skylar, but that'll be coming soon. On our Jags quarterback takes, we'll save that for hopefully the next episode.
You are more than welcome to still submit your questions if you have questions for us. Again, we'd be happy to answer them at Dimes on Duval on Twitter or on Instagram, Facebook, or just reach out to any one of us individually. Again, we'd be more than happy to take your questions. And if we like it enough, we will have you on the show to ask it personally and give your opinion on it. So with that, thank you for listening to another episode of Dimes on Duval. I'm Keith Manzi, alongside Skylar Chase and Mike Yazoo, signing off. Thank you, guys, and have a wonderful day.